Well, a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this annual general meeting. My name is Ng Kee Chow, and I'm the Chairman of SP AusNet.
Chairman, I would like to introduce Stephen Mayne, card number 115.
Okay.
It's a pretty unique situation that we have now in Australia, where the government of Singapore actually controls more billions of dollars worth of business assets that they directly control and operate, i.e., Australand, Optus, and now what's going to be potentially, is a pushing $10 billion electricity pile. And the government of Singapore owns more assets than the Australian government does. So if you look at, what the value of Aussie Post and the 17% left in Telstra, the Singapore government owns more of Australian businesses than the Australian government does, which is a really unique situation. I'm not sure aware of any two countries in the world where that is the case. And I'd just like to ask Dr. Lefroy, does he see any potential political risk in there being some potential backlash against this one day? I mean, we've seen some fairly fraught relationships between Singapore Airlines and the Australian government over things like access to the Pacific route. And I'm just worried that, one day there'll be some sort of blow-up and we'll be sitting here as minority shareholders of a Singapore government-controlled company caught in some broader bilateral argument between governments. Because at the end of the day, it's a vast relationship now that the Singapore government-controlled empire, through Temasek and the GIC, has with Australia, including things like being the largest shareholder in ABC Learning and, owner of the Park Hyatt and owner of Westfield, 50% of Westfield Parramatta. It is, pushing $30 billion. You've sat on one of those Singapore government boards. What is the thinking? Why is the Singapore government putting tens of billions into Australia? And what are the potentials for some sort of risk or some sort of blow-up one day? Because it's a very unusual mix of business and government that you just don't ever see, I've never seen before, in looking at businesses and government businesses. And I say that as someone who was the press secretary to Alan Stockdale when he sold off all of the electricity assets here. And I'm sure the last thing Geoff Kennett or anyone else would have expected was that the Singapore government would emerge with most of the assets, certainly in the distribution and transmission sector. So I'd be interested in your insights, given your unique position, having sat on both sides of this, this situation.
George, would you like to respond? If you will, allow me to just make a few comments first.
Perhaps, first, I think Temasek Holdings, which is the parent of Singapore Power, all right, acts on its own. It does not act on the direction of the Singapore government. And we at Singapore Power and all the other Temasek control-owned companies act on our own. We evaluate investments, businesses, as any other commercial enterprise would evaluate. So we are motivated, therefore, as any other commercial enterprise would be in considering an investment. Secondly, our investment in Australia, be it Singapore Power or any others, I think one of the underlying sort of factor is the close relationship between Singapore and Australia. Australia welcomes investment. I think the whole environment, legal, political, regulatory, is conducive to this investment. I think this investment also helped to forge the links between Singapore and Australia. And whatever little difficulties that may arise from time to time, I see it as part and parcel of this normal event that would occur when one invests in any other country. But on the whole, I may add personally that Singapore Power is very satisfied with its investment in Australia. We've got good relationships with the regulators, with the authorities, and our investment in SP AusNet as a long-term strategic one. And this latest move regarding Alinta is further testimony to our confidence in investing in Victoria and Australia. So with that sort of background comment, George, if you would like to comment on anything.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Stephen, I think, first of all, that the strategic interests of Australia and Singapore are remarkably well aligned. That's the my personal observation. I think the business interests of Temasek companies, in my experience, are very strongly commercially oriented. They're looking for good, solid, sound investments all across the world, not just in Australia. And when I was a director of Singapore Power Limited, and we acquired, first of all, the PowerNet Group, the transmission company, and then later the TXU Group, I was very pleased to see those acquisitions take place and to see how well those companies did, looking at them from the point of view of director of Singapore Power Limited. I think that as a director now only of SP AusNet, I think of things not from the point of view of Singapore Power Limited, but from the point of view of Singapore, of SP AusNet itself. I think Ian made that comment. So I feel myself to be independent in practice, even although under the guidelines I'm not regarded as an independent director. I certainly believe that I act as one. And I'm pleased to see strong investors wanting to take positions and wanting to hold positions in SP AusNet. And Temasek is, through Singapore Power, is a very strong investor, a very canny investor. And I'm delighted to have them on board for all the reasons that Ian talked about, but also because it is always welcome when you're a director of a company. I'm a director of another public company, of course. It's always very welcome when you find willing investors. That is a very important thing for directors to find.
Mr. Min.
Just a quick one, Chairman. Firstly, I think it's good the way you've Singapore Power has not cast their shares as a proxy, that you've held them back as discretion. Proxy's discretion, so we can actually see what the independent shareholders are doing with each resolution rather than being swamped by your 51%. So well done on taking that decision, and hopefully for all the rest of the resolutions you won't need to exercise that 51% voting power. Just a quick one for Martin. Martin obviously is here as an independent director. We're in his hands to ensure we don't go over the top in paying too much for the Alinta assets. I just want to ask him that the GIC, the Singapore Government's investment company, has just, I think, teamed up with the Myer family to buy Myer in Melbourne, the largest department store in the Southern Hemisphere. So we actually have a situation where Martin's family is doing deals with the Singapore Government on unrelated businesses, you know, large property transactions worth hundreds of millions. So I'd just like to ask him, was he involved in any of that, and what's his view on his independent role, keeping the Singapore government company honest here while his family's off buying up hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property in joint ventures with the very same Singapore government that he's holding at bay on our behalf.
Martin, before you respond, if you choose to respond, may I just add that, all right, as I've mentioned, all the members of the board have unanimously, you know, agreed that Mr. Meyer has been an excellent independent director. So, you know, there are no doubts whatsoever on his independence, his integrity, as well as honesty. So, you know, in case you have any sort of doubts in that sense, I would like to dispel it right here and now. So, Martin, have you anything you'd like to add?
Well, Chairman, thank you very much for those kind comments. Stephen, you would be aware, of course, going back when I was on the Coles Myer board and the Coles company was in the process of selling the Myer business, and the family, as you correctly point out, were a bidder for that business, I was the mushroom in all of that. I could neither play any part in the Kohlsmeyer board's deliberations on that issue, nor in the families. So the only thing I knew about either side of that transaction was what I read in the papers. And the same applied when the Meyer store business was sold by the Meyer, the new owners of Meyer. So I've had no involvement in that transaction. I can say that it was news to me very late in the process that GIC was to become a shareholder. I think that's a great outcome for both the Meyer business and Meyer customers, and I have no doubt that they will exercise their role in this joint venture very appropriately. I have no involvement with the management of the Meyer business, nor will have no involvement with the management of that Meyer asset. With my engineering background, I think places me in a very good position to have a good role on this board. I hope I act very independently. I certainly believe I do. And I look forward to continuing with the board of the company as it develops and grows over the future.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Okay, and my question on the remuneration report is, I don't think I've seen a company that controls such a large asset pool and is worth so much paying its executive team so little for a long time. And a CEO on $670,000 is a throwback about 10 years ago. So I'm not going to vote against your remuneration report, and I'm just curious as to why all these blokes up in the, oh, sorry, all these executives up in the front row are working for so little. I mean, and I was interested in your comment about Pacific Road only being taken on an hourly basis. Clearly it's part of the culture of this company to keep costs down, which is, you know, appropriate for a regulated business like this. But how do you attract and retain your executive team when you pay so much less than AGL, Origin, Babcock and Macquarie Bank and all the other players in this industry? It's a very unusual situation. Well done.
I'm not sure that your comment is entirely correct, but I'm sure Nino and his management team, I think, welcomes your comment. but just to add something, Mr. Main, the Remuneration and Nomination Committee surveys the market and benchmark our remuneration against a universe of companies that we deem are relevant for our industry. And we ensure that we are pitched competitively against this universe of companies. But having said that, you know, it is we do review, you know, our total comm regularly, and if we do sort of get out of line, we'll certainly take the necessary action. But I'm sure, as of now, you know, Nino and his team are not sort of unhappy with the remuneration level, if I may say. But anyway, thank you very much for coming.
Okay, and I'm curious, the convention in Australia, when you have directors who are representative of another company, i.e. like Singapore Power, is that those directors donate their fees or give their fees back to the parent company. So the example I'd give you is that James Packer is representing PBL on the SEEK board, where he's chairman, he's paid $100,000 a year. That appears in the annual report, but in actual fact, he has to give those funds back to PBL because he's just representing PBL on that board. So is that what also happens in this situation, that particularly the executives of Singapore Power donate their fees back, so they're not actually getting the fees directly, or do you get to pocket them in Singapore?
Well, first of all, there are non-executive directors and executive director, and there is one executive director from SP who's on this board, and that's Mr. Quek Bohart. Mr. Quek Bohart, being an executive director of Singapore Power, does get his fees, return his fees back to Singapore Power, but the others are all non-executive directors, so you know they do what they wish with the fees.
I think that's entirely appropriate, and I'd just like to thank you for your generous answers today. You've been very cooperative, and you've given very full answers on everything I've raised, so thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meen.